This morning I'm preaching from 2 Kings, and I'm in chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. And I'm also using the parallel passage of 2 Chronicles 24, 17 through 27. Now, it's all God's Word. And God's Word tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God, literally breathed out by God is what the term means. And 2 Peter 1:20 says the prophetic words of Scripture were not made by an act of the human will, but that men spoke from God being moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm preaching on the importance of seeking God's Word, of paying attention to it, believing it, keeping it at the forefront of your thinking and your actions, and not departing from it. God's Word is the Lord's blessing gift to you. But the world is never, ever going to tell you that. The world ignores it for what it is. But even God's children in Christ can have problems with ignoring their gift from God. They can do things that look more like rejecting it than hungering for it. And when God's people disregard relying on His Word for direction, more problems follow. And this is a stronghold of the enemy. And it involves more of the wider, expansive church of our generation than most people realize. And we must be aware of it. We must be aware of a predictable decline for anyone who turns from God's Word, for anyone who neglects God's Word. So prepare your heart for this sermon, the predictable decline of turning from God's Word. Let me pray. Father, guide us to understand these truths and to assimilate it into our own hearts and our own minds, and that we would use it for your glory. This is what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in looking into this learning from 2 Kings 12, we get an illustration lesson from God's people in the Abrahamic and the Mosaic covenants. And the contextual setting for our life lesson from God's Word is ancient Judah. And the timing is close to 3,000 years ago. And the Spirit reminds us in Romans 15 that whatever was written in those times was written for our instruction in our new covenant life. And it says those things were written so that through patience and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we will have hope. And 1 Corinthians 10 says something similar. It says those things which were recorded, like in 2 Kings, are examples for us so that we would not crave evil things and experience consequences like those who craved evil and showed they experienced the consequences then. And it says again, those things were written for our instruction. And so we see something here. We see God's Word explaining to us the importance of itself. God's Word directs you to look to God's Word for direction. And God is the one saying there are consequences for turning from His Word. And so, looking back to that day with eyes of the Spirit, the young boy Joash had become king of Judah at an age of 7, little boy, and he was saved from an order to be assassinated in a massacre along with his brothers and sisters. He was rescued by the wife of the old covenant high priest, Jehoiada. And then hiding in the temple, little Joash was essentially a blank slate in need of protection. He needed care. He needed a solid upbringing according to God's Word. And in his first 7 years of life, he had lived under a God-rejecting influence. The kingdom family had a set pattern of turning from God over and over again. It was just their legacy. Baal worship and other pagan practices permeated everything in the culture. It was the starkly predictable decline of God's nation. It was their legacy seen over and over again, turning from God's Word. And now Joash, little Joash, needed to be transformed by the renewing of his mind according to God's Word. And this is what God always wants from His people, from you, from me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind according to God's Word. Now, Joash, he lived in this perfect place for it, in the temple. He's daily feeding on the instruction of the Lord from this high priest, Jehoiada. True blessing. That's what it is. And 2 Kings 12:2 says, King Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, and this is important, that Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Well, this is the blessing that's more precious than gold, silver, and diamonds. Knowing the importance of God's Word, recognizing it, and benefiting from it is very huge as a blessing. Now, Joash was learning the same importance that his grandfather, King David had known when writing God's word in Psalm 19, that what God expects you to embrace as the same thing in your life. Now there in Psalm 19, David explained that the word of the Lord is sure, making the simple wise, that the precepts of the Lord are right, that the instruction of the Lord is pure, bringing enlightenment, that God's servant is warned by them, that in keeping them there is great reward. All the truths in God's word are for you. Now, think of yourself as inheriting it from God, being given it to you as a gift. And so what do you get? You get surety. You are made wise. You get precepts that are right. You get instruction that is pure. You get enlightenment. You get warned by them. And as you keep them, what do you get? Great reward. Well, back then, Joash inherited the throne of David, the one who wrote Psalm 19. And then 100 chapters over from Psalm 19 in God's word, we find Psalm 119. And it's the longest chapter in Psalms. And it goes for 176 verses with one main driving force. It teaches and exalts the importance of God's word. And it's a complex chapter. Most scholars say it was also written by David. And it not only exalts God's word, it's also a complex teaching tool with 22 stanzas. All 22 stanzas are in a sequence starting with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet representing each one. And each stanza has 8 verses in it. And when you take the first letter of each of the 8 verses in each stanza and you put them together to form a word, you get a Hebrew word. And it's the word for the name of that stanza. And the psalm of his forefather existed at the time of Joash when he was being raised. And being the word of God, this amazing teaching tool was more than likely basic training for growing Joash. And being a psalm, it's also to be sung. And it starts out saying this: blessed are those who walk in God's word and comply with his testimonies. So you read that intro, 119 in Psalms. You read this, coming into it, and you're supposed to be understanding that if you want to be blessed, then walk in God's word. And it says, I keep my way pure by keeping it according to your word. So you're learning that if you want your way to be pure, it needs to be kept according to God's word. It says, I have treasured your word in my heart, so I will not sin against you. If you want to keep from sinning, then value God's word like riches in your heart for it. And it says, I have rejoiced in the instruction of your testimonies as much as all riches. Are you recognizing God's word like that, with the appreciation that it's your great wealth? Well, it's teaching us to do that. And it says, I will meditate on your precepts, delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Are you committed to it like that? It's teaching you to do it. And it says, deal generously with your servants so that I may live and keep your word. See, God wants your ambition to be blessed by God for the purpose of living and keeping his word in every single pocket, every single area, corner of your life. And it says, you rebuke the arrogant who wander from your instructions. Telling you, God's hand confronts people who are seeking the decline of turning from God's word. It says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my advisors. That's cool, right? There's no greater advice to be grateful to get. And it tells you the main place that you should be consulting: God's word. It's like a conference of counselors. They're always there to advise you. And it says, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. In times of trouble and grief, if you want strength, get it according to God's word. I mean, this is one area Christians can experience a self-inflicted decline. If they disregard God's word, what they're disregarding is the strength that's waiting there to uplift them. And it says, give me understanding so that I may comply with your word. You know, you're shown that's what your prayer should be. Ask for the understanding. Ask to do God's word in your life. It says, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hurried and I did not delay. When you notice that you're on the wrong path, instead of running down the decline, be quick to get back to following God's word. It says, teach me your statutes. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. If you want to be discerning, you want to be smart, you want to be wise, then start with the discernment to know that you need God's word to make you that way. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It's good for me that I was afflicted, so that I will learn your statutes. I will never forget your precepts because you have revived me by them. Now, when you understand God's molding hand as grace to get you back on track, then you know a life-changing principle, that in this way, affliction is ultimately good for you. You will understand, because it's revelation from the Word of God, you're going to understand it as your loving Father's classroom for you to learn the principles and the instructions of His Word. It says, I have more insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than those who are old, because I have observed and I have kept your precepts. If you want mature insight, understanding which sees through all the foolishness that's being fed to you every day from the world, God's word is your source. It says, I have restrained my feet from evil so that I may keep your word. I get understanding from your precepts so that I hate every false way. That's the ambition. That's what God wants from you. Use God's word, the sword of the Spirit, to cut through all that is false, to despise anything that's false. And the last one that I'm going to quote is this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This shows the predictable advancement, the advance of turning to God's word for direction. You don't want to stumble. You want to advance. So what do? Hold God's word in your heart like a light to guide your path. It is the light. In Psalm 119, it has so much more. And I mean, it seemingly goes on forever with enough to be said about God's word for life. And Joash was being nursed on this gift of God's word by his rescuers in God's temple, just growing in this. And so he matured that way. He was strengthened by the nutrients of the Spirit. Well, after Joash became king, he was growing year to year. He continued to be instructed and advised by God's word through Jehoiada, the priest. And so what we see in that time is that King Joash's life reflected the blessing of God's direction. But 2 Chronicles 24 tells us that later in life, toward the end of Joash's reign as king, the high priest Jehoiada died. And this began a regretful phase in King Joash's life, including Judah. With the death of Jehoiada, Joash's reliance on God's word also died. And what do you think happened? The predictable. It quickly followed. Which is what? The decline. Men who had declined from God's word started influencing Joash with the words of men, not the word of God. And we're told King Joash did that thing that we must do everything to avoid ourselves. Listen, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And what he did is he listened to them like he previously listened to the word of God that was going through Jehoiada, being relayed by Jehoiada. Now, he's being influenced by these men who had turned from God's word in their own lives. Men, it says, who abandoned the house of the Lord, that's the temple, they abandoned God. And their decline turned into a free fall. They served false gods. And they were deceived by that seducing desire to live outside the word of God. And now they influenced Joash to fall down the same deadly cliff, turning from God's word. The predictable decline of Joash's folly was emerging to take shape in everything. And we're told that because of being guilty of this, God's wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem. And yet, God's word had always warned, God's word, that this is exactly what would happen when God's covenant people turn from him. God's warnings are alerts, by the way, from grace. That's God being graceful. And he even gave them a chance to change their minds back to him and his word. Although the leadership of Judah had fallen headlong into this predictable pit from turning from God's word, and Joash was in the same plunge, God has grace. He has grace. And he has grace in his operation with you. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to get back on the right track. He's patient. Always know that God is working in grace to get you there. And that's what he wants, his people getting back on track. So the Lord, with them, sent prophets to bring the leadership of Judah back to himself. And those prophets didn't come with something new. They didn't come with anything different. They carried what had been rejected beforehand. They shared the word of God. And God used those prophets to testify against all those people for their sinful turn. God was giving them a blessing chance to be brought back to the right path through the word of God. And so another detail in this lesson emerges. They still would not listen to God's word. This means they rejected the beauty, the blessing, and the truth of it. Don't do that. Don't reject it. The beauty, the blessing, and the truth. They rejected what David said, that the word of the Lord is sure, making the simple wise, that the precepts of the Lord are right, that the commandment of the Lord is pure, bringing enlightenment, that when God's servant is warned by them, and that's what we are, keeping them brings great reward. Well, the decline had been going on for some time since Jehoiada died, and then one day, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, was anointed by the Lord to share God's word in a powerful way, and we're told the Spirit of God covered Zechariah like clothing. Beautiful, beautiful poetic language. And he stood above the people of Judah, and he spoke the word of God. And he said, this is what God has said. Why do you break the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? See, it's a decline in everything. And he says, because you've abandoned the Lord, he has abandoned you. Now, Zechariah was declaring the predictable decline of people who turned their back on God's word, and he was declaring the consequences. But now, their turn from God was complete. It was settled in their foolish hearts. So what they did is they conspired against Zechariah, God's messenger. And then one day, at the command of King Joash, who had long departed from his fame of doing what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days that Jehoiada the priest instructed him, at his command, all those men had wandered so far from God's word that they murdered Jehoiada's son, God's messenger. They stoned Zechariah to death. And to add to the seemingly incomprehensible attack on God's anointed priest and prophet, Joash and those men actually murdered Zechariah in the courtyard of God's temple. And we're told that in Joash's predictable decline, he no longer cared about his relationship to Zechariah and his father, priest Jehoiada, that Joash forgot about the kindness which Zechariah's father had shown him in rescuing him from being executed as a boy, constantly turning Joash toward the truth, teaching him, feeding him his whole life. It didn't matter to him now. Why? Because God's word no longer mattered to him. And when God's word no longer matters to you, even one little area, please catch this. This is important. Even one little area, it's reflecting deep, darker issues of your heart, areas that need to be dealt with. And those areas can only be dealt with by going to God and turning to the same word being neglected. Now, with Joash, murdering Jehoiada's son showed how far his heart had declined. But as Zechariah was dying, he spoke God's prophetic word one last time in his dying breath. He said, "May the Lord see and avenge." Well, the Lord always sees, and there are consequences for the decline. But the predictable decline needs to be understood as a self-inflicted curse. Any vengeance with God under the old covenant was already stated in his word. It was a promise in God's word. So it was being ignored by Joash and the others because they no longer accepted God's word. Now, with us in the new covenant, we're in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. God's hand in our lives, and it's real. He's working in your life. And he works through the consequences that his children bring upon themselves. It's not the same kind of thing as vengeance. It's not the way God works with us. He doesn't have wrath with us, vengeance with us. See, we're his new covenant children in Christ. But he lovingly deals with us as his children, and he chastises us. And it's not a joyful process for the moment. God's word is what gives us understanding on it. It says that God, your Father, because Christ the Son, Christ is in you spiritually, you're in him covenantally, God the Father chastises you and disciplines you in your unique love relationship with him and Jesus. Hebrews 12:6 says that the Lord disciplines you because he loves you, that he chastises every child he receives in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, when you are evaluated and you're found guilty of wrongdoing by the Lord, You are disciplined by him so that you will not be condemned along with the world. So thank God for life in the Christ covenant. God lovingly works with us while any of us decline and start to sink into it. Yet sometimes doesn't feel good to our flesh because he wants to get us out and it doesn't feel good. Hebrews 12 says God disciplines you for your good so that you will share his holiness. That in the moment, all discipline does not seem like a pleasant experience, but painful. It's what it says in God's word. It says, yet for you have been trained by it. Afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, the blessing of being pulled out of the decline. Now back then, God dealt with his covenant people who turned from his word, and he would do so to turn them back. But Joash had refused to listen to God's prophets, and then he sinfully murdered Zechariah. So Joash had abandoned the Lord. And now God's vengeance promise of his word, which was always there, was now in their midst to deal with Joash's decline. And so since King Joash was cursed with not living biblically, things started happening. He was not prepared for war against the enemies of Judah. Instead of repenting, instead of seeking God and his word for victory, Joash sought human tactics, human philosophies. But God always works according to his word. And the Lord had already said in his word that if Judah departed from his word, he would send other nations to punish them. Now, the Arameans are on a war rampage all across Judah. And 2 Chronicles says they destroyed all the officials across the land. They sent all their spoils back to the king of Damascus. And next, they're set on attacking Jerusalem, where King Joash's palace is, where he is, behind the walls. But Joash, he didn't want to go out and defeat the enemy according to God's word with God's blessing. Instead, Joash gathered all the sacred offerings that were consecrated unto the Lord, which had accumulated by the kings before him. He also gathered all of his own sacred offerings. He also gathered all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord. He also gathered all the gold in the palace, basically all the riches of Jerusalem. And then he sends it out to the Aramean army like a payoff. Well, it seemed to work. The pagan military withdrew from Jerusalem. Might be called a victory. No, it was really a defeat. Joash had given away essentially everything that had been given to God according to God's word. It was not Joash's to give. It was the Lord's. But also, now Judah was broke. The result of the predictable decline of turning from God's word. And 2 Chronicles 24:24 explains, the Arameans came with a small number of men, yet the Lord handed a very great army, the army of Judah, over to the Arameans because Judah and Joash had abandoned the Lord. And it says, so the Arameans used by God executed judgment on Joash. I'm preaching on the predictable decline of turning from God's word. And there's more. At the same time, the Aramean army retreated. The same time, King Joash's decline was seen in other ways. He was sick. And the consequences of turning from God's word are very far-reaching. Two of King Joash's own men conspired against him because he had killed Zechariah the priest. And so the vengeance that Zechariah prophesied as his last words was about to come to fruition. Those two men assassinated Joash on his sickbed. He was so despised for turning from God that though he was buried in Jerusalem, the people did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. Now, the lesson for us is very sharp. Listen, God's word is the Lord's blessing gift to you. It is not a burden. If you're starting to think it's a burden, you've got a heart problem and you need to get it right with God. It's a blessing gift. And you know there's a predictable decline that comes with turning from God's word. You know it. You've heard it. You also understand it. And you may have seen it in your own life. And you know your own patterns. You know what you're going through. You know what you do. And you know what you turn to. You know what you turn from. The Spirit is telling you this. Seek God's word. Pay attention to it. Believe it. Believe it for your life. Keep it at the forefront of your thinking and do it. And do not depart from it. Amen. That's the word of the Lord.